Hello, welcome to the Wednesday, April 9th, 2014 edition of the Sands Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I'm the recording from Orlando, Florida. Even though it's Patch Tuesday today, and typically on Patch Tuesday, we do spend a lot of time on Microsoft bugs, I would like to start with a different bug today, and that's of course the OpenSSL Heartbleed bug. This particular vulnerability was released yesterday. I briefly mentioned it in yesterday's podcast, but today we actually decided to raise our Infocon level to yellow over this bug because of the serious nature of this particular problem. First thing you probably should do if you haven't done it already is figure out, are you vulnerable, and get a good handle on how many systems in your network are vulnerable. Pretty much anything that uses OpenSSL is potentially vulnerable. One particular sort of indicator that you can use is if you are supporting TLS version 1.2, because that particular TLS version was introduced with OpenSSL version 1.0.1, which is the version that is vulnerable. Systems that are not vulnerable typically run the older version of OpenSSL, OpenSSL 0.98 or 1.0.0. There are now a number of tools available that you can use to scan your systems for this vulnerability, and for example, the SSLLabs.com test website does test for this bug. Some of the tools had some issues where they did not detect that you were vulnerable for this particular bug, even though you were vulnerable, just because you did not have a TLS 1.2 enabled. But this particular vulnerability potentially can affect you even if you don't have TLS 1.2 enabled. Just happens that this version of SSL was the first one that allows you to enable TLS version 1.2. Now, a lot of the attention here focuses on web servers, which is probably the number one problem here. But remember, any server, any client that uses OpenSSL is potentially vulnerable. So, for example, your IMAP servers, SMTP servers, OpenVPN servers are potentially vulnerable. So are various web browsers and email clients if they happen to connect to a malicious server. Also, there is a very well-working proof-of-concept exploit out there that makes it essentially trivial to exploit this particular vulnerability on servers. At this point, nothing against clients yet, but it's really relatively trivial given that the server vulnerability already has a proof-of-concept. For all major Linux distributions, you should have patches available right now. For example, Ubuntu and CentOS and Red Hat Enterprise Server, but others are likely going to have patches out as well. So apply these patches quickly. I removed the RPMs that I had published last night just because now we have official RPMs available to patch. A big problem will be devices like load balancers and such that don't run standard Linux distributions, and where you can't easily compile something from source and patch the server or the service yourself. So for those particular services, you may have to find some alternate means. There isn't really anything good available right now. Again, the impact of this is that an attacker can retrieve 64 kilobyte worth of memory from the process that is vulnerable. So, for example, for your web server, this would include secret key material or any data that the web server is currently processing. So if someone logged into a website, you may be able to retrieve usernames and passwords. You may be able to retrieve session IDs from other users that just happen to be in memory of the web server as the attack is being executed. Each time you execute the attack, you have a chance to get another 64K of memory. There are IDS signatures available, but there is no good indication you could retrieve from your server logs, for example, to see if you had been exploited in the past. This particular vulnerability triggers before the actual HTTP request is sent, for example, against your web server, so there wouldn't be anything logged. I saw some log entries in the error log for Nginx, but these log entries are pretty benign and not very telling. Essentially, all it says is someone connected to your SSL server without actually sending any data. That can also happen for other attacks, like a simple port scan or someone just connecting to your SSL server to figuring out what SSL versions, for example, are supported. The diary we have published about this particular vulnerability got quite a good number of good comments with links, for example, to testing tools and IDS signatures. So if you have any questions about the signatures, for example, please refer to the links in the comments. But well, then we also got a patch Tuesday, and luckily only four Microsoft patches to really talk about, two of which were rated critical, two of which are rated important. And again, this was the last patch Tuesday for Windows XP and Office 2003. MS-1417 fixes a vulnerability in Microsoft Word and Office web applications. Yes, this would allow remote code executions, mostly your standard client bug here, so definitely patch this, no known exploits for this. MS-1418 is our usual cumulative in Explorer security update. So again, no known exploit at this point, but certainly something you do want to patch quickly. We do expect exploits for these vulnerabilities to be released fairly shortly, and with an Explorer being always a pretty choosy target, you definitely should expedite this patch. MS-1419 is a vulnerability in the Windows file handling component. So it's actually the Windows operating system bug. It's rated only important by Microsoft because it does require user interaction. And then we have MS-1420, which is also a client vulnerability in Microsoft Publisher, which also allows remote code execution and as such is important because it does require user interaction. As far as patch priority goes, I would start with the Internet Explorer patch, then work my way to MS-1417, the Word and Office patch, just because it does have code execution without user interaction, and then finally MS-1419 and 20, the two other patches that are rated important by Microsoft, just because they do require some user interaction. And Adobe, of course, also released a patch today. This patch is for Adobe Flash Player. The reason you need to pay attention to this particular patch and maybe even apply it before the Windows patches is that Adobe rated its criticality with 1 for Windows and OS X, which means that it has already seen this particular vulnerability been exploited in the wild. Well, and this is it for today. Sorry for running a little bit over, but a pretty busy day today with OpenSSL and Windows. Thanks for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.